Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Well, you know, it's today's a special day in the fact that it was 6 years ago that I stood before you, Julie and I, Pastor Rick, Miss Debbie. And Pastor Rick passed the baton to us. Amen. And it's been an incredible, you know, 6 years for us. It's been an incredible opportunity. And one of the things that Julie and I talk about the most about Covenant is actually not the work we do and missions and all the outreach and, you know, numbers and all of that. What we talk about is we talk about the love of this congregation. And, you know, in that time, you guys loved us. You accepted us as a family. You accepted us with our kids. And, you know, it has meant the world to us to feel that love, to see that love towards us. And, you know, I can't put words really to what that has meant to us over the last 6 years. Amen. And so we are so grateful and so thankful for the time that we've been able to be here and be a part of Covenant Life Church. We pray, my prayer is that you've grown, you've increased, and that your eyes are on Jesus. And if we get to play a small part in that, then praise God. But our heart has always been to point you to the Lord. And that's our prayer for you as you continue to grow and continue to move forward. But I also want you to know that even though we may be leaving, we're excited about the future of Covenant. Amen. As a pastor, you don't come and sow your life into ground and then just forget about it and say, well, you know, that's over and done with. No, our prayer and our desire is to continue to see God move and work and do great and mighty things at Covenant Life Church. Just because we may not be here, you know, in this capacity in the future doesn't mean that God's not here. Amen. We didn't bring God. Amen. Jesus was already here. And Jesus is going to continue to be here. Why? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the Lord of all. He's the head of the church. And He's the shepherd over this house. He's the great shepherd. And it's important that you remember that in the midst of times like these when transition is taking place. Because you need to know, and that's where your eyes need to be. Yes, we look to people and we develop relationships, and that makes things very bittersweet. We're excited about our future, but also it makes it hard to tear away from the things that in relationships that you have here. But nonetheless, we have to obey God and do what God's called us to do. And so when I was thinking about today and just kind of praying over it, you know, just remembering these things and the fact that, you know, Covenant doesn't belong to men. Covenant belongs to the Lord. And it's important that you remember that. It doesn't belong to any one person. It's never belonged to me. I simply have been a steward over what God has put in my hands. All of our leaders that serve, they serve as stewards of what God has put in their hands. But ultimately, you belong to the Lord. Amen. And so that's important for us to remember. And that seasons are going to come and go. Our life is seasons. Ecclesiastes says there's a time and there's a season for every purpose under heaven. And so when we understand that and we recognize that, it helps us to navigate those times in our life because we recognize there's a season for everything. And so there is a season change. Amen. But the end of one season brings the beginning of a new season. And that's what we look forward to as we look forward to the next season and what God has and what He desires for our people and for one another. And that, you know, Covenant is not you just coming and listening to me preach. Amen. You are a family, the family of God, coming together with one another. And I've ministered on that many times, the fellowship and the sharing in that we have together as the people of God. And that will never change. That's the way His church has been built. It's been built not upon just attending a service. It's upon a people that are called out, called together to serve Him and to fulfill what God's put in them to do. Amen. And we are, as a Covenant Life, a local representation of that. And so, you know, here a little while back when I shared with you about us stepping down, I gave you two thoughts. One of them was, what if we trusted God? And if you didn't hear that message, go back. It's out there. Get it. What if we trusted God? Amen. And I want to encourage you that you need to continue to do that. Your trust has to be in the Lord. It doesn't mean we don't trust men, and I say men, I mean people, or we don't have trust in that, but ultimately our trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, right? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your paths. So we trust in the Lord, and number two was, what if we obeyed God? And I think those are two key components in this transition, because it's real easy to get in the mind and preference, right? And our thoughts, likes, dislikes. This isn't a popularity contest. This is a calling. These are appointments. Amen. And so I want to encourage you as a congregation, you have to trust in the Lord. Amen. And then also, you need to obey the Lord. And anything less than that is not godliness. All right? Now you know me. I'm not going to hold back. Amen? And so I want to share with you the fact, you know, that what God's begun in the church 47 years ago, because really the church anniversary is today, or right in there, 47 years ago, Philippians 1:6 says that He who began a good thing, what did He say He would do? He said, I'll finish it. I'll finish it. Amen. And that's what God's going to do here at Covenant, is what He's begun, He's going to finish. And not just in these buildings that are part of it, but in you. What He has begun in you, He's going to finish, He's going to complete, He's going to bring to a finished or completed end. And our responsibility in that is to walk in faith, to walk in obedience, walk in grace. Amen. And then we're to be led by the Spirit. Real simple. It's not complicated. I didn't say easy. You know that. But it's simple. Is that we trust in the Lord, we walk in faith, we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're led by the Spirit, we're obedient to the Lord, and we let the grace of God work in and through our life. And so that's important as we walk forward and move forward in life. You know, and so, you know, through this process, we've been praying, we've been searching, we've been going through the steps. And so what God put on my heart for you today is to talk to you real quick about the gift of a pastor. My job at this point is to point you forward and to prepare your heart for what's coming. Amen. And I want to just share with you about the gift of a pastor. And this is not something that you're going to hear very many pastors share about, because it comes across as self-serving. But I'm moving forward, and so I get to use these opportunities to say some things. Amen. None of it's bad. It's all really good and encouraging. But I want to set it up for you. Amen. So let's go, first of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. And then you drop down in verse 11, and it says, and he himself, who is he talking about? Jesus. Okay? Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You and I must understand, and I'm included because I have a pastor. A pastor is a gift. And it's a gift from the Lord. It's not a position. In other words, as we're moving forward, we're not hiring a new pastor. You're not hiring somebody. You're not hiring a hireling just to come for a paycheck. If that was the case, they'd do something else. What you're being given is a gift, who's appointed, not by men, but by the Lord. And it's important that we understand that aspect, because if we don't, then we won't receive. The Bible says whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, receive a prophet's reward. There's something that happens when we understand what's before us. You remember Jesus at the in Samaria at the well with the woman, and she was talking about, he was saying, give me a drink. And she says, why do you ask me for a drink? And then Jesus makes this statement. He says, if you knew the gift of God that was before you, right, then you would receive something more than just some water. There would be life that's imparted. Amen. And so as a pastor, there's a gifting. And it's not just the pastor. It's all of the ministry gifts, the apostle and the prophet. Does that mean that we take a gift and put it on a pedestal? No. It's not what I'm saying. Every gift that I've been given has been provided for me. I don't have it on my mantle or on a pedestal. In other words, whatever's been given to me has a function. It has something that it does. Do you see what I'm saying? I want you to understand this. Because a pastor and being a gift is not to put them on a pedestal. It's to understand why they were given. So that why they were given begins to work and produce in our life, that without them it wouldn't be produced. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't waste the time to give them. Amen. And we read what it was for. Really bringing you and I to the measure of the knowledge of the Son of God, amen, to a perfect man or to maturity. That's been part of my role. That's going to be part of the next pastor's role in your life, is to help grow you and mature you and disciple you and lead you. They're not here to be put on a pedestal. And the problem is in the day in which we live, we're looking for celebrities and people that we like and people that say what I want them to say and say it the way that I want them to say it, instead of looking at what does God say and what's the role there. Amen. So when we talk about this, we need to understand that. And please understand this. When we talk about the gift of a pastor or an apostle or prophet, an evangelist, I'm not talking about the person. Don't mix that up, right? I'm talking about the office. I'm talking about the place of authority that they stand in your life. And when you and I stop receiving them as the gift of a pastor and we just receive them personally, is when we get disappointed and let down. But when we understand the calling and the office, if you will, that they stand in, it puts us in a place to be able to receive from the anointing or from the gift of God that's in them. The grace actually that's on their life is able to flow into our lives because we receive them, not just personally, we receive actually because they are sent by the Lord into your life for however long. I have a pastor who's been in my life for 30 plus years. Amen. And I know the difference between him and as a person, and I know the difference between that and him as a pastor. Amen. So it's important that we're able to do that and receive that. So let's just look at a couple of things the Word says about a pastor. You can find pastor, you can find bishop, you can find elder. You're going to find the word presbytery. You're going to see it used over and over, and it's in the same context. All right, so let's see what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is a letter written from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a pastor. All right, and he's breaking it down. And he says in chapter 3, verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride, and he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's a mouthful. It's a lot. Amen. But those are what Paul says are the qualifications of a person who desires to be a bishop or a person who desires to be a pastor. Listen to what Titus says in chapter 1, verses 7 and through 9. He says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." And then we'll read you one more passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 through 4. He said, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." You see, God's given very explicit instructions on a shepherd, a pastor, a bishop. You could call them an elder, right? That there's instructions there of what's responsible and expected out of their lives and how they're to relate to you. And then I just made a quick list of additional qualities, and don't worry, I'm not going to preach on all of them, but I do want to share them. They need to be one who loves the Lord with all their heart, Matthew 22:37. They need to be one who loves his wife as the Lord loves the church, Ephesians 5:25. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. One who has a shepherd's heart after God's own heart. And I love this. It's a favorite. And I use it as a guide in my life. "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Right? Shepherds according to his heart, God's heart. Matthew 20:26-28, a servant leader. "Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gift of a pastor. One who rightly divides the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again, qualities of the gift of a pastor. One who's baptized. Now this is for us. Now there's some denominations may not agree, but we are a Spirit-filled church. And so this is not optional for a pastor. One who is baptized in the Holy Spirit walks in the power of the Spirit and is led by the Spirit. You know Acts 1:8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And then 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Amen. The gift of the pastor is not here to tickle your ears. Amen. They're here to impart the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. And you or I are called to receive that because it will produce something in my life when I receive it that way. 7, one who walks in love. 1 John 4:8. One who knows and teaches the truth. That's John 8:32. One who has proven the call of God upon his life. Acts 13:2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them." There's something about an endorsement of other elders and other pastors and leaders and those in the, and the presbytery, if you will, to evidence the call in somebody's life. You don't call yourself to be a pastor, right? When you're called, you can't do anything but, right, fulfill that call upon your life. One who's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And then one who is faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." 1 Timothy 1:12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know, in today's church, I said it earlier, so many times we're looking for personalities. We're looking at styles. We're looking at, do I like them? Do I not like them? What do I think about them? Let me just help you with that. The Lord didn't ask you. He didn't ask you what you thought. You want? I'll share with you when the Lord actually listened to the people and let them have what they wanted. Right? One aspect was they sent them to spy out the land that God wanted them to have and was going to give them and did give them. But 10 of the spies came back in fear and only 2 had faith. And so the people just stayed in the desert. And He waited for a whole generation to die off before He took them into the promised land. And it was because that's what the people wanted. They didn't want to go and fight. They didn't want to do that. Amen. What about King Saul? Whenever they wanted and God was leading His people by prophets. That's how God wanted to govern His people, was by prophets. And they didn't want that. They wanted a king. So what did He do? He said, "I'll give you a king." And His name was King Saul. And then at the end of King Saul's life, God regretted that He ever put him in as king. And He says, "You know what? I'm going to give you somebody else. I'm going to give you a man after My own heart. Somebody that's going to do all My will." And He raised up King David. You're not going to find anywhere in the New Testament where they went and said, He said to go and appoint elders in all the churches. You're not going to find in the New Testament where He said, go and take a vote and see if they like them. Amen. Now listen, I'm just sharing with you things because if your perspective's wrong, then you miss out on what God has for you. You say, "Well, I'll just go somewhere." That's fine. I mean, you have that choice. Amen? We all have the choice. But I'm telling you this because I want you to know that why we don't take a vote. There's not a vote here. The vote that you have is you stay or go. I mean, stay or go. That's your vote. Amen? But here what we do is we consult a team of people, we consult our board, we consult our overseers. In other words, we make sure that there are people that are part of this process. And it's not just one person. Amen? And the process of what we do. And it's important for you to know that. Because I want you to know that the heart is not to play favorites or just try to put somebody before you that we think would gather numbers. No, we want the person that we believe God has sent here to do what all I just read to you. That's why I'm reading it to you. Because I want you to know that's what we're looking for. I'm not looking for the person and you know that has the right kind of shoes or the right kind of jeans. Or I say these things because we talk about these in our circles as pastors. No, they're appointed by the Lord. And when Pastor Rick took over, it was appointed by the Lord. When Jill and I came, it was appointed by the Lord. And this next season, it's appointed by the Lord. Amen. And you'll be able to look around and look at one another and see and look back and say, "Look what the Lord has done." Not look what man has done, but look what the Lord has done. Amen. And so as the pastor, as your pastor, right, I've been praying for you. I've been praying a lot. And just praying in the Spirit and praying over things. And my heart for you is that you just stay steady. You let the new pastor come in. And you stay steady. And you let them settle in. They're not going to come in and be everything that you, quote, want them to be. Amen? They're going to come in and begin to be everything that God's called them to be. Right? That's their role. And as a pastor, I've been through it because I know my weaknesses. I know my nature at times. And I can be sharp on one side, but I can also try to be a pleaser on the other. I know my weaknesses in that. But my job has never been to try and please you. My job is to be obedient to the Lord, because what did we read? We read that when the chief shepherd comes, see, you don't have my reward. It's not in your hands. My reward is in His hands. So the one that I have to obey is Him. It doesn't mean that I'm inconsiderate. It just means that He's the priority. Right? And that's what I want you to see as the church. And I am praying for you that as we step out and the new pastor steps in, that you receive them the way you received us. And that is with love. Right? With steadiness, with welcoming, and say, hey, pastor, we're not here to judge you. We're here to link arms with you. We're here to come alongside you. We have a mandate, and we're not looking back, and we're going to keep moving forward, and we're going to recognize who God sends and who He puts in place, and we're going to grab hold of that and move forward together. Amen. That's the right posture. That's important. And as you do that, then this church will continue to grow. It'll continue to increase. It'll continue to reach. It'll continue to touch lives. It'll continue to make a difference. It'll continue to see what God has begun, to see it being completed all the way until Jesus comes back. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, as we are moving forward in this process, and I've lined this out to you, the things that I've spoken to you are the things that have been proven. Right? They've been proven. And so, today, I'm, like I said, it's bittersweet because we're stepping away, but I am so excited for you. Right? Because you get to move forward. And so I just want to share with you a couple of other things in this process that Pastor Rick and Terry, they didn't just show up one day. Amen. I'll just tell you a couple of things that I loved about it. As number one, as we prayed, and one of our first meetings is we talked about it coming through relationship. And not resume. And Pastor Rick and Terry came through relationship. Amen. And then through these weeks of the process of talks and interviews and meetings and different things, I've talked to their pastor myself. They have a pastor, and that excites my heart, because if they don't, then that's a flag. Amen. And so I got to talk to him and hear about them and their faithfulness and their character and the things that I want to know about them as a pastor and who I'm handing over a church to, if you will, who we are. It's really not just me. We are handing over a church to. And so Pastor Rick and Terry, they fit the bill of all of these things that would be found in a pastor. Now, I may not have experienced all of them personally, but we've talked to the people around them that have. And that gives me great confidence. Amen. Because I'm not worried about them being a flash in the pan. I'm not worried about them coming in and not teaching you the truth. I'm not worried about them coming in and not pastoring you. They fit the bill. You can go back and listen to this. But all of these qualities have been found in their lives. And that's important. See, these are the things that we look for. not looking just for their style and all the other things. We're looking at what are the spiritual qualifications upon their life to be able to stand in this place and pastor you and do it successfully. And they have all of those qualities in their life. And then second, or another point in it that I wanted to share with you is just the supernatural working of God in it all. And I'm not going to go through and tell you all of the details, but just not only the connections, the timings, amen, the confirmings that they have had from people around them, just all of those details. I want to see God's hand at work. I don't want to see just a selection. Amen. We don't do that. We want to see the hand of God. And so being able to look and be able to hear and see, and you see the hand of God working. Amen. And so all of these things, when we talk about that, these are the things that as a pastor, again, that I'm looking for. I know there are things that our overseers and others that are part of this process, they're looking for these things. They're looking for the spiritual things. They're looking for that in their life. Yes, there's natural things, but above all else, it's the spiritual things in their life. And so all of that, just the connections, the steps that have been taken, and all the details that have come together, and then the perfect timing of how everything's fitting together. And so I get the privilege, and I'm excited to be able to let you know that you have a new pastor coming in Pastor Rick and Terry. And they're coming into this house, and they're going to love you. They're going to teach you. They're going to lead you. They're going to walk with humility. Amen. They're going to walk in authority. They're going to walk in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And they're going to do a phenomenal job, if you will, of pastoring you. Amen. And the final thing for me is one of the things that I've let dictate my life in making decisions, small decisions, big decisions, is the peace of God. It's not just the supernatural signs. You could, you know, people come and you could find signs in everything. But at the end of the day, when all of that, Lord, where's my peace? Right? Where's my peace? The Bible says in the Amplified that the peace of God would serve as an umpire over your heart. It says, settling with all finality. It says, all questions that arise in the mind. And it brings a peace, right? And so above all else, as I've talked to our oversight, Pastor Rick and Pastor Bob, as I've talked to the board, as I've talked to the others in the process, there is a consensus of peace. Amen. And so for me, I want you to know that that's settled. It's settled because there's the peace of God. And so what I'm going to ask you to do now is I'm going to ask you to begin to pray. Cover them. Pray over them. Right? They're finishing up some things. There's a little bit of time in here. They're going to be here again this month. But June 2nd is going to be the day that we pass the baton, if you will, pass the torch, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate coming out of an old season, but we're going to celebrate stepping into a new season on that day. Amen. This, please understand that this doesn't mean that Julie and I don't love you or that you won't be a part of our future. You'll always be a part of our lives. Amen. You'll always be a part of this season of our life and us moving forward. I always can see and look back. I can go back to the days of being a children's pastor, and I'm still involved with people, and now I'm a spiritual father to people. You know, it's not a severed thing in the sense that it doesn't matter. We're going to continue to stand and pray for you as we move forward. But as I told you before, we have to obey the Lord and do what we're called to do and step into our next season. And we have to get out of the way to make room for the next season here. Now let me just, I'm going to end with this. Pastor Rick and Terry are not Julie and I. and they're not supposed to be. Don't sit there and try to look at them through that lens. That's not right. Amen. Pastor Rick and Miss Debbie were some of our greatest supporters and champions in that, and pointing you to us and saying, listen, they're the person. And so we're pointing you to Pastor Rick and Terry. We want to point you to them. They're the pastors coming in. And the principle is over in John, whenever John was baptizing and Jesus shows up and starts baptizing, and John's disciples came to John and said, hey, Jesus is baptizing. Matter of fact, he's baptizing more people than you are. And John, basically what John ended up saying is he said, I must increase and he must decrease. And there's a principle in that. Amen? We need to do that. So, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to passing the torch to them. I'm looking forward to see and hear all that God has for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before we close out, amen, we do actually have a greeting from them, and I want you to see it.
Well, good morning, Covenant Life Church family. This is Pastor Rick Felder and my beautiful wife, Terry, and we are so pleased to be with you here in church this morning. Obviously not in person, as we'd rather be, but in spirit, we're together in church enjoying Christ's presence. And I just wanted to say how excited we are to join the Covenant Life Church family in person, to be part of the Jeffersonville, Indiana community, but especially to be part of your church family, our church family. We are honored that Pastor Rob and Pastor Julie feel confident in the peace necessary to hand over the flock they so dearly love to us, and we will honor that decision. We will not let them or the Lord down, and we will not let you down. And we are especially honored that you would receive us as lovingly as you did last week. We could feel the love, the fellowship, and everything that makes a church what it should be coming out in all of you, and we thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, I am so looking forward to getting to know all of you individually, personally, and becoming part of our extended family. And we already love you guys. I look forward to seeing you soon.
And just to share a little bit of the word together, Hebrews 13:7, let's just agree in prayer together to share the word together, as Hebrews says, to experience fruit through the outcome of our lives together as we walk in faith with Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, as long as we're here in church, let's just pray that in agreement right now. Lord, we're just so thankful for your presence. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the fellowship that you designed us to walk in with you, bearing fruit through walking in faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all, they're going to do a great, great job taking you where we couldn't. Amen. They're going to be great pastors for you. So one more time, let's just give Jesus a hand. Come on. Give him thanks.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.